And thank you for joining us this morning. We're glad to have you. We've got an exciting program lined up. I think you'll like that. And also, it was nice to see that spring is almost or finally here. And what does that mean when it's springtime? It means the RBC Heritage presented by Boeing is just right around the corner. And so in 39 days, set your watch. It's only 39 days away. So be ready. And it's going to be a great event. Also, we're 11 days away from our annual chamber ball. That's going to be a super fun night. We're going to present some community awards to some well-deserving individuals as well as organizations. We're going to have a super band. It's going to be a night that you won't want to miss. Also, I'll give you just a little bit of a hint here. We'll also have a little bit of Hollywood with us with a low country flair. So I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. And if you are interested, we're almost sold out. And there'll be a link in the chat box where you can sign up. Or if you have any questions, reach out to Connie Kilmar. Well, in case you missed it, the event is going to take place at the Hilton Beachfront Resort and Spa, Hilton Head Island. I think I got that right. That's a mouthful. You might be sitting there saying, the Hilton, where is that? Well, you might have missed it. On March 1st, the Marriott in Palmetto Dunes became the Hilton. So that's where our event will be taking place, at the Hilton in Palmetto Dunes. Okay, enough of that. Now let's move on. Like I mentioned earlier, we've got a great guest lineup for us this morning. And our first speaker, he kicked off our AI conference just last month, it was, and had really, really rave reviews from our audience. Zach Giglio, the CEO of GCM, an award-winning agency that is out there helping organizations leverage AI and also seeing how that AI might help you become more profitable, more efficient. He's also certified by the Wharton School of Business in AI strategy. How about that? The Wharton School of Business in AI strategy, pretty good. And he's also a frequent guest speaker on AI. We're just delighted to have him with us this morning. Zach, it's great to see your face again, and welcome to Power Hour.
Thanks, Bill. You too. I was thinking the same thing.
Good.
So, yeah, so I'm very excited to talk to you all today, just to do a little bit of an intro on AI. And as Bill mentioned, we are around speaking with organizations, chambers of commerce, businesses all over the country. And we find that there's some hesitancy around AI, around using it. And a lot of times it's because people maybe haven't really used it, or if they have used it, they haven't done it in a way that is really strategic or with some intention inside their organization. And so I thought about putting together this presentation for you all today. And rather than actually just going through a presentation and talking to everybody, I thought it might be a little bit more helpful if we just showed everybody actually what AI is. And there's a reason why, you know, Bill, I'm really glad that you had me here. So we can help small businesses and medium-sized businesses really punch above their weight by leveraging AI. You know, Harvard Business School did a study and found that knowledge professionals who leveraged AI inside their workflow, and this was really basic AI, maybe about 6-8 months ago, they were able to do 12% more tasks in 25% quicker time. But the real exciting thing there is that they were able to improve their quality of work by about 40%. And so it's not just doing things quicker, it's doing things quicker and more efficiently and actually in a higher quality. What is also really exciting is they found that below average employees were able to actually get more of a benefit than above average employees. And so below average employees or performers increased their quality of work by 43%, while above average employees still got a benefit. It was 17%. And I think about that on a larger level. If I think about under-resourced businesses, and how I am one of them. You know, we have 3 full-time, we have some contractors, but we always want to do more. And I know that we are getting more of a benefit by using AI in our daily workflow than a bigger organization, which, you know, I used to work for a couple. They also did a study with small businesses, and small businesses reported some really exciting things. So small businesses said that 93% said that AI tools are cost-effective and help them improve profitability. 76% of small business owners said it frees up their time and their employees' time. I think it was about 13 hours a week, which is a lot. And on average, small businesses said that AI about performed the work of 2.1 full-time employees, if you added everything up. And so we know that there's a lot of benefits, but we also know that not a lot of businesses are actually really utilizing AI, at least in the way that we know that they can. And so I'd like to take a second and just show you all, when we say AI, what do we mean? Now, many of you have seen this screen before, or maybe this screen. And really what this is, so before it was ChatGPT, this is Google's Gemini. And here you hear people say prompt engineering. Prompt is just engaging. It's just sending a message. So this looks just like a Google search bar. This is not really anything more complicated than that. Really anybody, you don't need to be a tech coder, enthusiast, wizard. In fact, I'm not. I'm just looking at off-the-shelf tools that are easy to use that I can use. And here's another one. This is Claude. What's really cool is that, you know, they give you some examples of things it can do. So here it talks about understanding complex equations, extracting text from images, which I find really useful, actually. Transcribing handwritten notes, you know, suggesting product descriptions and all of that. So there's really just a lot of things you can do. And when you enter a prompt, it's not anything fancy. It's not anything that is too intricate. It's just, you could say, hey, how's it going? You know, that technically is a prompt. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. You know, what's on your mind? Here's another tool that we use a lot. It's called Copy AI, and I'd like to kind of show that to you. And basically, what Copy AI can do, it can do a lot of what ChatGPT can do and Gemini. So this is just a regular chatbot. And so rather than actually just show you the presentation, what I did was I took the text from the presentation that I created and I uploaded it to this tool. And so now I'm just going to ask the questions and engage with it. And I want you to see just how easy it is and how the more you engage with it, the more you can use it and have other ideas come up. So I'm just going to say, I am giving a presentation as we speak to the Hilton Head Island. And don't worry about the text, it'll figure it out, I think. Bluffton Chamber of Commerce and its members about AI. Now I'm just gonna hashtag my presentation, which I uploaded, and tell people what AI is. So that is a prompt. Now I'm gonna engage with it. Now it's just gonna think, it's gonna reference my document, rather than going kind of all out there to the world. And AI, as many of you know, is really just technology that's designed to mimic the behavior and outputs of a human. And really they came out with AI a long time ago, and we've all been kind of a recipient of the technology, but now we have the ability, Now we have the ability to use it and to actually produce things with it. And here it's kind of getting like, this is too long. Now, I like when AI doesn't perform exactly as I want it to, because it's not a perfect process. You know, there's a lot of limitations to AI. It'll get things wrong. Like here, it's 3% is wrong. Not 3%, it's actually 93%. I just gave you that stat. I also think this is too long. Make it snappy. You can have fun with it. You know, use natural language. So this is actually called, this is like ChatGPT. Called a natural language processor, which means that we don't need to use code. We can just use natural language in the way that we engage with it. Okay, cool. So according to, and I'm going to give my presentation again, what are the ways AI can improve productivity? So I've listed a bunch of things in my presentation. I don't want it to go out to the world. I just want it to go here and tell me. So it can end blank page syndrome. So if you have something you need to write, it could be an email, it could be a blog article, it could be anything, you know, it can give you ideas, kind of like what I'm doing now. it can generate those ideas. It can stream longer form content. So I'm going to show you in a second, kind of, we're going to have this long conversation with AI, and I'm going to actually turn it into content right in front of you. It can personalize engagements, customer engagement, member engagement, all these things. So that means that rather than speaking out to a group of people or people like them, you're actually speaking out to an individual person, but just at like a really large scale. It can scale multi-channel marketing campaigns, and it can edit and proofreading. Okay, that's great. But we know that AI is not perfect, right? So what about its limitations? AI has a lot of issues. It can hallucinate. It can confuse context, right? Inaccuracies and misinterpretations. It can give you plain wrong answers. It did that this morning. I was asking it a question and it gave me an answer that I knew was plain wrong. It doesn't see people as individuals. It has the possibility of drift, which means that it, depending on how they're training these tools, it can get specialized in one way or another, and kind of lose its focus on what it was originally trained on. So there is a lot of things that AI can get wrong. Then how do we use AI in the best way if it has benefits and limitations? So we know that there's benefits. We want to get all these benefits, but we also know that there's limitations. And so it can make a lot of people nervous. Well, how do I know if things are right? Well, really what you need to do is use AI, especially first, really smartly, but slowly. So take a small piece of your workflow, something that you do on a regular basis that you know how to do. You don't need AI to help you do it, right? Take AI, bring that in there and start helping it, have it help you do these things, but just more quickly and maybe a little bit more efficiently. Look at my presentation and tell me the approach about treating AI like a junior employee. That's what we tell people to do. You know, if you had a junior employee, even a colleague using AI, you wouldn't just trust everything that they gave you, right? That's the benefit of having a colleague, is that you can bounce ideas back and forth with each other. You can work with each other. You can correct each other's mistakes. I mean, that's like, that's the whole benefit of having another teammate. And again, that's another benefit of being able to use AI as well. And so this is what's in my presentation. And so if you have a junior employee, think about a junior employee that rushes to finish tasks. That's great. We want things to get done quickly, but if you rush to finish tasks, that can leave it vulnerable to mistakes. It requires guidance. It lacks maturity. If you think about your business, your industry, your expertise, you know more than AI does about your role, about your business, right? Like AI doesn't know more than you. And so you need to be at oversight. You need to be the one who knows, okay, intuitively or even doing the research, what AI is giving me is a good product. What AI is giving me is actually correct. So if you don't really know how to write a blog article, I don't recommend that you use AI to write a blog article, because you wouldn't know how to give it the guidance and you wouldn't know how to edit it. If you don't really know how to do sales, how to create sales sequences, how to personalize a sales message, then you're going to have a hard time using AI to do that. But if you do know how to do it, then the way that you give AI its guidance would be a lot better. Right? So here, you provide ample context. If you know your industry, if you know your business, then you'll be able to much better provide that context, right? You can use external tools. So it's sometimes difficult to like chat in here. Like if I'm typing a prompt in here, I can't do a line space. I can't do bullets. But if you use a word processing tool, it becomes a lot easier. Have a conversation just like I'm doing. Set clear goals and audiences. Establish a tone and voice. I'm going to show you right now, and then I'll stop for some questions. So let's say I really like this conversation. So this is all great info. I want to share this as a brief recap to everyone who attended this presentation. Can you write a summary of what we just discussed that I can share? So this is where you can streamline longer form content. I could have asked you to turn it into a blog article outline, an email, a newsletter section, but here's this recap. Thank you for joining. AI, this is really good actually, AI's potential in boosting productivity. So it references some of the things, understanding AI's limitations, the optimal approach. So this is exactly, you know, what we want. So I could say, okay, perfect. Now turn that into a blog article outline. You don't really want it to give it to, like say, write the whole blog, because you want to take it piece by piece. AI performs better when you break it down into smaller tasks and you give it piece by piece. Hopefully now you're starting to see, like, this is how we can start boosting, you know, productivity. This is how we can start really using off the shelf. And everything I'm doing here besides the referencing my own presentation is free. You can do this in ChatGPT and Gemini and Claude in the free version of Copy AI, which, by the way, if you want a paid version, I can give you a discount link. So you can do all of that. Now, okay, so also use this information to write a LinkedIn post. So now I want to write a LinkedIn post about this. This is how you start scaling multi-channel marketing campaigns. Now, I wouldn't post all this as it is. I would really have to do some editing and to make it personal and also make it sound like me. So here's this is we recently concluded an enlightening session. It's just referencing that which I would change, blah, blah, blah. So this is nice. I like this. Actually kind of sounds like me, but I'm just going to show you one more trick and then I'm going to stop here. So this is great. I want to show you tone and voice. Rewrite this in a quirky, approachable tone and voice. This is good. This is actually quite long. It's almost like a mini blog post. I like it. I might use this actually. That's pretty good. But I just want to show you, if you prescribe it a tone and voice, which you can analyze your own, it'll completely change the way it sounds. So you want this to sound more like you. Just had a blast. Picture AI as a new intern. So this is talking way more approachable and things like that. So these are just a few examples of not just telling you how to use AI, but showing you that it's not something that is really that complicated to use. And when you merge your understanding and your expertise in your business and in your professional roles with the tools that are available off the shelf, whether it's ChatGPT, Gemini, you can do a lot more inside of your own expertise.
All right. Thank you, Zach. That was very enlightening. And I'm glad that you have time for some questions, because we certainly have some questions. And the first question is coming from Charlotte. And she is asking, does it learn you and your business over time? And how do I help it have my tone and voice?
I love that question. It's a very good question. So I'm going to show you something. So the quick answer, does it learn your business over time, is no, unless you tell it to. So the free versions won't learn your business over time, but the more paid versions, like here, it can. So what you can do is upload, so like in this tool, Copy AI, you can upload like documents from your business so that it can reference. Because the challenge with AI, especially when you want to use it specifically for your business, so it sounds like your business and thinks like your business, is that when you ask it a question, it's going to reference its entire training data, which is a lot. Like it's about 10% of the internet, which is a lot of data. But we don't want that, right? Like I don't want it to go out into the world to find information and think like me. So when you can use things like InfoBase or give it references, then you can get it to more kind of think and act like you. Now, tone and voice. So let's go to my website real quick. Let me show you quickly how to first describe your own tone and voice, which is hard to do if you are by yourself, and then to prescribe that. So let's say, so here's our latest article that we wrote, Decoding AI Jargon. I'm just gonna take some two paragraphs or three paragraphs here, and I'm gonna paste it in here. And I'm gonna say, describe the tone and voice of the following text. So now what this is going to give me, it might not be like exactly what I want, but it should be close. And so I can go in here. So it's enlightening, characterized by a formal and informative delivery. Okay. I don't know if it's that formal, but It employs clear, concise language aimed at imparting knowledge, suggesting an audience can understand at a deeper level. Okay, cool. So now what I can do is save this. I would save this into like an Excel sheet somewhere or a document, wherever you want, so that anytime you go back to an AI model, and especially any AI, you can do this in Gemini, you can do this in ChatGPT, you could say like, let's see, let's find something on the Hilton Head Chamber. I know it's longer than that. So let's find one of their articles or something about them. Pays to be a member. So this is cool. Let's just take this. So rewrite this, the following text, and I'm going to put it in brackets, in a tone and voice that is, and I'm just going to copy all of this. So now you're able to take, I mean, you wouldn't, shouldn't steal other people's work, but you're able to take your tone and voice and rewrite things. So like if you're having AI write something and it produces this article or LinkedIn post, but it doesn't really sound like you, now you prescribe your tone of voice and say, rewrite it so it sounds like me.
Ben, and Ben is he's saying that I saw your talk at the seminar and you said it could be used by the service industry for inventory and scheduling. Is there an AI program that is best or that you recommend for that?
So I don't use AI personally for that, but I know some company and some people who do it. And I forget off the top of my head what the tool is, but I'll find it and I'll send it back to the chamber team and they'll be able to get it to you.
All right. Jordan is asking, will it help me with my scheduling and time management?
So it can. There's a lot of tools out there that can do more like smart scheduling. It could like recommend things for you. So it's kind of like a Calendly link, but they can do it a little bit better depending on like what the request is and things like that. So it can. I'm not like wildly impressed with anything that it can do. As far as time management, it can help you do things like let's say you have a list of items or to-do list and you only have a certain amount of time. I mean, you could literally say, I only have an hour to get work done. Here's all the things I need to get done. The goal of today is to be able to, you know, move one step in the direction to start generating more revenue. Of everything that I need to do, what do you recommend I do first? So, I mean, there's like some time management. You can use it kind of as like a helpful partner and sidekick in that way as well.
All right. Amelia is asking, how do I get rid of the gray shaded background?
How do I get rid of the gray shaded background? Does that mean, I'm guessing what you might mean is like if you copy this and then you paste it into like a regular document, it might give you that shaded background. So what you can do is like control click or right click and hit paste text only or match style of the thing. So it's a good point. So let me just show you Docs new. So I'm gonna go here. Now, if I just take this, I'm not sure if this will actually take the background, but if I just go in here and I paste it, actually, it's just going to keep the regular thing. But here, watch, if I hit control, I don't know if you can see what pops up, but it says paste without formatting. You would hit that, and then it would just give you the text.
All right. Thank you. Alex is asking if you think that AI will ever get too smart, and can you address that fear?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So there's a lot of smarter people than me who discuss this a lot. So I'll just kind of distill basically what I think makes sense to me. So on one hand, it's really difficult to train AI to be as smart as a human and as complex to make decisions as complex because we ourselves do not understand how we make decisions. So we think we make decisions. We know that like 90% of all decisions are based on emotion and we use logic to justify those decisions to ourselves and other people. We know that there's a whole part of our brain that is working that we don't really understand, but that is involved in decision making. And so if we don't really understand every piece of how we make a decision, we can't train something else to make a decision like that. That being said, they're already seeing AI do things that it's not necessarily programmed to do. For instance, ChatGPT, apparently when there was a whole shakeup there, I don't know if you remember or follow, but there was a shakeup and apparently it was linked to chat this version of ChatGPT, not with the one that we use, being able to solve a math equation that it was not trained to solve. And that's really kind of bizarre. You know, like AI is basically what it's trained on, it can do, or it can try and do. It references data and it can take that data and make an inference. So it can kind of take like, what is the next logical step from there? It shouldn't really be able to solve a problem that it doesn't have data on, but is actually able to do that. What they're also seeing is that AI has created its own AI models as well, which is kind of bizarre. Even though it kind of wasn't really told to do that. So there is some concern. I do think there needs to be an off switch. Like literally just like if it starts getting out of control, we need to be able to hit a button and stop it. But I don't know, you know, if you can get the whole world to agree with that. So, you know, like a guy named Marc Andreessen, who was at the very beginning of the internet boom, he was like one of the creators of Netscape or something. He does not believe there will be a situation where we have what's called like AGI, like artificial general intelligence, where it's going to get to the level of like a human being. But there's other people who are concerned about it.
Zach, we have time for two more questions. And the next question is coming from Grace. Grace is saying, I'm recently retired. I'm very good with the computer. How can this help me in my daily life?
That's a great question. So we also use AI like way outside of our business. I mean, we use it all in our business and help businesses use AI, but we use it completely. I mean, like you can take a picture. So let's just say I love cooking. Like cooking is how I relax. I like the idea of meditating. I just can't do it. So my meditation is like cooking or something like that. So, but there's sometimes like, let's say I'm at a restaurant and they give me a meal. I could take a picture of that meal, upload it to AI and say, can you give me a recipe for this? And it'll analyze the meal and it'll actually give you a recipe. So there's some fun things there. You know, there's also things we'll use it to create like poems or letters or invitations to parties or our kids' birthday parties. There's a thing on ChatGPT that I can use to create a coloring book page based on whatever idea my four-year-old son or almost four-year-old son has. There's also things like, so there's this one person who had a dog who was sick, pretty famous story about ChatGPT, had a dog who was sick and couldn't figure out what was wrong, took it to like three or four different vets and no one could figure it out. So the person, the owner of the dog, started talking to ChatGPT and said, look, this is what's going on with my dog. We can't figure out, he's not eating or whatever the situation was. Do you have any idea what it is? And ChatGPT gave it three possibilities. The first possibility, they already ruled out through testing. Then the guy went to a vet and said, what about this possibility? And the vet said, I never thought of that. And actually that's what was happening. And then they treated it and they cured the dog. And even like us, like there was one time where I got like blood work done and I had like a whole PDF of results that I don't know what it means. I literally uploaded it and said, can you explain what these blood work results mean just to me in like layman's terms? And it did. And so there's really like every single part of your life, it can have some sort of impact. And depending on what the task is, it can have a very small impact or it can have a very big impact. But I would just recommend like just play with it, just start playing with it, just start talking to it, ask it for like a joke of the day, and just start seeing like how to engage with it. And then you in your life, you'll start thinking of, oh, maybe I could try this, maybe I could try this, and you'll take it away.
All right. Our last question, Zach, is coming from James. And James is asking, what's the biggest mistake people make with AI?
I love that question. So the biggest mistake people make with AI is that they try to do too much too quickly. So if you think about incorporating AI into your workflow, that's actually a massive change. It's, you know, it's just like you're getting this assistant that is coming into your life. And if you had an assistant, you wouldn't just say, okay, change my life. You would have your assistant start off with very small, meaningful, but very small, simple, basic tasks. And you would start building momentum. And that's exactly where people go wrong with AI, is they start playing with it, or they see this kind of presentation and they're like, oh my gosh, and their mind starts going and exploding with the possibilities. And I get it. Like, I get excited about it every day. But you have to take a step back and start small. Find the smallest meaningful thing in your daily workflow and use AI for that. And keep using it and refine how you use it. And when you get to the point where you feel like there's no way AI can make this task any easier, any more efficient, any better than I'm able to get it to do now, now move on to something else and move on to something else and move on to something else. And whether you're doing that on a personal basis or whether you're doing that as an organizational level, that is the key. So like the Wharton School of Business training will tell you that. The Amazon training that I've done will tell you that. Any training, anywhere you go, in any transformation, you got to start small and in a way that you know what it's doing so you can judge whether or not it's making a good impact and build on top from there.
Zach, that was terrific. Thank you for being with us this morning. We look forward to seeing you again. And I'm sure there's ways that you can help some of our businesses here in Bluffton and on Hilton Head Island.
Amazing. Thank you for having me. I really love this chamber and I really appreciate all the energy and everything you do for the community. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We're going to move on. We're going to talk a little bit about real estate. And our next guest heads up the Lowcountry. She's the Lowcountry's voice in real estate. She's Jean Beck, the CEO of the Hilton Head Area Realtors Association. And she's here today to offer some insight on maybe where the market's going, where it's been, what's needed. All things Jean, talking real estate. Jean, welcome. Good to see you this morning.
All right, Bill. Thanks very much. I just want you to all know that my presentation today is just strictly me talking. I have not put it into AI to create anything from AI on this. It's just me talking to you. So that was a great presentation. And I will share with you that realtors are using AI in their business as well today. You know, looking at listings and being able to enhance listings descriptions that AI has been very helpful for them, as well as blogging out into their sphere of influence. So AI has certainly been a part of the real estate industry over here in the last year as it's become more known. But thanks, Bill, for having me today into the chamber. Always appreciate the opportunity to talk about real estate and our realtors and our community. So I'm going to give a little bit of a briefing on where we are in the market as we start out the new year. So we're about 9 weeks into the new year, and the real estate market is certainly starting to show some momentum coming off what was a slower quarter last year at the end of the year. Certainly the Feds have impacted real estate across our nation as interest rates have risen to control spending and inflation, and those rates have been fluctuating a little bit. But still, I think that buyers and sellers are starting to get more comfortable with what we have with the interest rates and being able to manage that into their decision whether to buy or sell. Interesting enough, the National Association of Realtors just came out with a statistic that 32% of the transactions last year were all cash buyers. So that's across the nation. And we certainly see that here in our region, probably at a much higher rate than 32%. So over the last year, we've talked a lot about inventory and our inventory, the lack of it. We've seen a little bit of an uptick. We're now at about 3.7 months of supply in our region, and that's compared to about 2.7 months from last January. So we're seeing a little bit coming, you know, a little more coming onto the market. But we certainly have, you know, our region is being expanded and not just, you know, Hilton Head, Bluffton, but you know, look at the construction that's happening out in Jasper County and Hardeeville and that Argent Tract. That's all begin to be developed. And you're starting to see those houses popping up. So we're having a visual there of what we're looking at and what that future could be. So when you look at our region's median sales point, we're rounding at about $580,000. That's the median sales point for our region. But I will tell you, when you look at Hilton Head Island, that has hovered around $1 million for the last probably almost a year. So the national median sales price is $379,000. So you see that our region is really kind of much higher than the national average as well. Not surprised by the by the number of people looking certainly to move here. So let me switch gears a little bit and share with you a little bit about our association and what we're doing. It's awards time. I'm sure you've seen lots of blogs and lots of social media posts of real estate companies acknowledging their agents and what they've accomplished this past year. But yesterday, the Realtor Association recognized 77 members who achieved the Realtor Service Award. And this award honors members who throughout the past year have achieved high levels of education, professional development, association involvement, and leadership, as well as serving our community and volunteering their time and talent and financial support. You know, realtors are great out in the community, and certainly there are those that really takes a part of their business to learn. This industry is always evolving. New things come up and new things to learn, like AI. So we certainly give that distinction and award those people for their extra efforts that they do. But we also each year honor one realtor who stands out really among all the rest for the Realtor Service Award. And in 2023, that award went to Daniel Moskowitz with Dunes Real Estate. Daniel has served in leadership roles for many years in our association, including our legislative committee. He was our president in 2017. And he has moved on to even serve now at the South Carolina Realtor, serving as our regional vice president. And like I said, the Realtor Service Award goes to one person only. And it's certainly an honor to be selected. And Daniel is well deserving of this award. So like I said, we are fortunate to have many great realtors who thrive on helping people throughout what can be an intricate and often taxing process to purchase a home or to sell a home, and of course, getting it to closing. And I want to share some statistics that just came out in a report from the National Association of Realtors, a report that they had reached out to consumers who have recently purchased or sold property. And having an agent help them find their home was what the buyers wanted most when they choose an agent by 50%. 90% of buyers would use their agent again to recommend their agent to others. 65% of sellers found their agent through a referral from a friend, neighbor, or relative, or used an agent they worked with before. And the typical seller has recommended their agent once since selling their home, and 22% of sellers recommend their agent four or more times since selling their home. So, you know, if you're out there and you're ready to buy or sell real estate, we get calls sometimes from consumers asking us to recommend a realtor. And what we say to them is do exactly what these statistics really are saying. You know, ask your friends, ask your neighbors, do a little research, interview realtors. Interesting, some of those statistics say they like go with the first one that they come to. But we encourage you to interview your realtors. So that you're sure that the communication, what your expectations are going to be in communicating with that realtor, and vice versa, what that realtor will be expecting from you as well. You know, you're with them perhaps maybe for a few months or even longer. And like we said, that process can be intricate. It can be emotional. It can have ups and downs. So you certainly want to have someone by your side that will help you get through that process. But most importantly, I'll share this last bit of advice, to make sure that they are a realtor and a member of our Hilton Head area realtors. We hope that will give you some insight as to choosing a realtor and helping our buyers and sellers out in our community through that process. And I'm happy to answer questions, Bill.
All right, Jean. Well, thank you for that update. And thanks for sharing your award winners. That's great. Congrats to Daniel and the 71 other service award winners. That's super.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun.
We've heard quite a bit of discussion the last couple of years on short-term rentals. Are you seeing that demand slow a little bit, or where are you seeing that?
I haven't, you know, I would say no, because I haven't heard anything about that. So I have not heard anyone talk about the short-term rental market. I know our realtors are very engaged in the process now that's required by the town of Hilton Head Island. We've had the town come and speak to our realtors a couple of times about their process, so they can communicate that to their buyers and be sure that they understand what they're looking at in the process of being a short-term rental owner here on Hilton Head, but I haven't heard anything about slowing down at all.
All right, thank you for that. Robert is asking if you would talk a little bit about what's happening in real estate in Hardeeville and how you see that impacting Bluffton as well as Hilton Head Island.
Sure. So we see Hardeeville as, if you look at Hardeeville and their statistics, they have quite a few building permits already in place. I think we're going to see that growth. That growth will certainly be there. We already know that there are businesses coming out into that area as well. So I think we're the impact, I think, is what we're looking at is certainly the transportation, the traffic. How is that going to impact us all? We've talked to Hardeeville a lot about their schools and what they're doing for schools. They have a plan and they have a trajectory that they're working towards. So we see that is certainly a healthy option for people moving here to the Lowcountry. You know, I think we have a tendency to think that if you are not on Hilton Head, you're not on the water. Well, if you're moving here from Ohio and you are, you know, a few hundred miles away versus 25 miles away, you're close to the water now. So I think that we see people feeling that just Hardeeville is just as close to the water for them as what might be on Hilton Head.
All right. Thank you. And Thomas is asking about how is the insurance issue impacting buyers and sellers?
Yeah, that's definitely an issue that has reared its head this past year. Certainly mostly a lot in the condo market. So we see that there were quite a few increases in that area in the condo market for insurance. So insurance, we're understanding, I'm not an insurance expert, but that we're understanding that's also secular. So we're hoping that we'll see some underwriters coming back into our region here in the next year or two and hopefully offset some of those costs. But it is a cost that people have to be cognizant of when they're purchasing. We certainly recommend that buyers immediately not only get to a lender if they need to purchase, if they need to obtain a mortgage, but also get to an insurance agent to get a quote so that they're assured that they're able to, afford what they're purchasing and they're going to be comfortable with that purchase with the rates that they are today.
All right. And our last question, Jane is asking what you're hearing from those moving from the Northeast in the difference in insurance rates?
I really couldn't answer that. I myself am not out listing and selling real estate, so I'm not talking to that consumer. But I can tell you that even speaking to my own friends and family in other parts of the country, and even my other association executives, many are seeing, all of us have seen an increase. I have a colleague out in the Park City, Utah area, and she was telling me that they have seen a huge increase, very similar to what we have impacted, mostly because of they are in a fire area. So we're all being impacted across the country regarding these insurance rates, where the reinsurance is unable to offset those costs to be able to bring down those rates for the consumer. So I think we have a ways to go. But certainly know that everybody is mindful and certainly working to a better solution as we move forward over the next few years.
Gene, thanks for the update this morning. It's always right, interesting Bill. And great to have you. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. Okay. Well, our next guest has come to us live from a lot of different places we've heard him from, but I don't think he's ever come to us live from the Mississippi River where he is this morning. He's been to every Hilton Head St. Patrick's Day parade since the beginning in 1988. And throughout his storied radio career, he's covered the event, and this year we'll be doing it a little bit differently as the parade's Grand Marshal, a well-earned and deserved role. And so with that, you probably know who I'm talking about, but we're talking about Monty Jett. Monty, welcome to Power Hour. Tell us a little bit about the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Well, Bill Miles, thank you so much for having me. I am live on the Mississippi River. We're at Natchez, getting ready to take a a tour of Natchez. The river is behind me. I'm aboard a Viking ship. It's kind of a birthday celebration, courtesy of Jenny Lee, my wife. Thank you for this. So one of my longer vacations. But what an honor, Bill, to be the Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade on Hilton Head Island. It's been going on for so many years. I've been in it. And someone commented, he said, you know, when we first started, it was Joy 108 at the time. You did your best to get kicked out of the parade with our shenanigans of throwing moon pies and Captain Fuzzy and I doing all kind of crazy things. And now they made me the Grand Marshal. But I do appreciate the honor and the company that I'm now shared and among. And I'm looking forward to representing the St. Patrick's Day Parade Committee. I will be leading the parade for once. So I'm very much looking forward to it and hope I'll see you out there, Bill.
I'll certainly be there. And think about that for a minute. From moon pies to the Grand Marshal. I like that. It's great headlines.
Yeah, well, you know, we try to hide some of those headlines, but we had some fun times starting in the early days on Hilton Head Island back in 88 and 89, just having a ball. And we didn't pay any attention to the rules. I don't know that we do now, but they're not that many. So it's okay to just go out and have some fun. It's a big family event. You know, I'm sure you do know because you helped build this area. 30,000 plus people come to that parade.
It's a phenomenal event. Am I correct in saying that I think the parade will roll off an hour earlier this year?
Actually, I think it's an hour later at 3 p.m. Do I have it? Yes, 2 p.m. instead of 3 p.m. because of the church changed something and we're able to do it. You're right.
All right. How about Irish Fest, the Saturday festivities that go on? You want to mention anything about that before we wrap things up and let you get back to your vacation?
Thank you. Certainly. This is an incredible event. It's free. It's open to the public. It's at our beautiful Celebration Park on the south end of the island of Pope Avenue. And we've got incredible bands from Irish bands will be performing absolutely free. Bring the family, be part of it. And you mentioned in your opening comments, Bill, 39 days before the RBC Heritage. So I hope you'll drop by my radio broadcast and be on the air with me.
You can count on that. Enjoy your vacation. Congratulations on being the Grand Marshal, and we look forward to seeing you in the parade.
Well, thank you, Bill. Appreciate all you and your chamber do for our community and keeping us posted on so many things. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Take care.
Thank you. The great Monty Jett. What a wonderful voice he has, and so comforting and familiar to all of us. All right. As we wrap things up today, I want to mention, just remind you that March the 11th is the Chamber Ball, and then also being the spring, all kinds of festivities are popping up. The Hilton Head Island Food and Wine Festival, which will be March the 24th to the 30th. Jeff Gerber and all of his volunteers there certainly do a great job each year, and you won't want to miss that. And then, as I mentioned, and Monty also mentioned, 39 days away to the RBC Heritage. It's going to be a super signature event. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Look forward to seeing you soon.